Let's start this TP. Now, this one is in the name of Jesus. Now, what I've mentioned it before, but I want to establish it according to Scripture, what I'm talking about. Now, I told you I came across this understanding when I was looking at some Scriptures. The one I looked at was this first one I gave you, Matthew 1:23. And that's one of the Scriptures. And the next one is Matthew 1:25, a few verses later. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin will be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And knew her not," this is verse 25, "until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, of course, that's not the name that was given us. And we're going to look at the name in a minute so you can understand what Joshua really means, because that's really what his name is. It's not Jesus, it's Joshua. And so if they're going to call his name Emmanuel, they didn't name him Emmanuel, that's the process I went through. They said they'll call his name Emmanuel, and then they end up a few verses later calling him Jesus. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you really think that that's what that word means, it's contradictory at worst, or at best. It's just something wrong with it. They'll call his name Emmanuel, then they said, and they call his name Jesus. So, and then they named him Jesus. You know, what happened? What's the deal? And the deal basically is the misunderstanding of the word name. Because the scripture, it says in the Old Testament, let's see, there's a, okay, it's in Matthew 1:23. I guess I don't have it here. It's here, Matthew 1:23. It says, that you call his name Emmanuel, and then it tells you what it means right there. You don't have to really look very far. "Which being interpreted is God with us." So they're giving you a definition of Emmanuel. So if they're calling his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, then the word name means something else. It has to mean something else, because it can't mean God with us, which what Emmanuel means. So I looked up the words, and what I found was something a little different. Now, and what I found was the word name actually means something different. And then the scriptures start making a lot more sense. The word name really means an authority or authority. So if you take that word name and you transpose it with the word authority in all these scriptures, then these scriptures make sense. When in actuality they don't make sense any other way. And we're going to show you why, because in the praying and stuff that use the word name, this is where we're told to do things in the name. And we need to understand that if you transpose the word name with the word authority, all those actually start making sense, which they don't make sense. Now, here's an example here. It says that Christ came in the name of the Father, and the whole time he ministered, you don't see him ever use the Father's name. Okay? You just don't see it. Now, actually, let's see, look at some of these scriptures. We've seen some of them before when we did the baptism study on page 2. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So that's putting on Christ. So we put on Christ. To be baptized into Christ, or to be baptized in the name of Jesus, is to put on Christ. So it's talking about a process that's not has nothing to do with a name. But we'll look at some more. So there's a bunch of them here. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So it's that in Christ concept, what it's trying to explain. Now, we know that when we receive Christ, that Christ is hidden in us, and we're hidden in Him. So the in Christ concept is us hidden in Christ. He's in us, and we're in Him. Okay? Now, John 14:10-11. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. This is part of that teaching of abiding that Jesus does, where He's talking about me and you and you and me. It's a concept that's really hard for us to handle, because how can we be here and Christ be in us when we know He's seated at the right hand of the Father? And then the Scriptures also say that we're seated at the right hand of the Father in Him, that we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's that concept of Him and us, that comes in Him. He was in the Father, and the Father was in Him. Now, let's go page 3. I'm going to skip because I want to get through this and get into the meat of the lesson. This is Acts 19:3-16. A certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, looked upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. So these are the 7 sons of Sceva, and they've decided to go to somebody who has evil spirits in them, possessed, and to call over them using this incantation, using the name of Jesus. Okay. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So he beat them all up. Well, he tried to make the same mistake most Christians make, that they did not have the authority of Christ. They were trying to invoke the name of Christ. Now, what it doesn't say here is that they were using the words that are in the rest of the Scripture when it says in the name of Christ, that they were actually saying the name of Christ. That's what it says. They were actually speaking that out and hoping it would have some kind of power. Now, down here, Matthew 21:9, and the multitudes that went forth and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Who is the Jew that isn't coming in the name of the Lord? Or is it really what the word says, what it says here, is he comes in the authority of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're assuming at this scene that this is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. This is what they call Palm Sunday. He's coming into Jerusalem riding on a colt of a donkey, and they're saying it because they're hailing him as something more than just another guy. As a king will be entering the city. Now, authority for a king is something only God can hand down. That's why they gave him such a hard time until they gave him Saul, and then eventually David. So we know that this authority to be a king is not something that can be declared by man for himself. It's something that has to be appointed by God. And the people that announced that were the prophets. They're the ones that came in and would actually verify who was going to be the next king. let me put it to you a little differently. Maybe you can understand it better. That Jesus came in the name of the Lord. And he prayed always according to the will of the Father. I come to do the will of the Father, the will of the Father only, he stated. Then how come he never used his name? If that's what it means. See, here's what the Christians do. Here's what the more modern doctrines have done, and actually it's been done since a long time, is they make this leap. Never once do we see Christ invoke a proper name like the sons of Sceva did. He never once says, in the name of Jehovah God, be healed. He never once says, in the name of Jehovah God, out. He never once says, in the name of Jehovah God, ever. When he prays, at the end of his prayer, he doesn't say, in the name of Jehovah God, or in the name of Jesus. There isn't anything like that in the scripture. But what happens is they misinterpreted the word name. Whatever you do in my name, whatever you ask in my name, they see that in the King James Version, so they think they have to use the name. When the reality is you don't have to use the name. Either you're in the authority of Christ as a believer, or you're not. As a believer, you have the authority of Christ. You have put on Christ. You have the authority that's been invested in you or vested on you by the Father. Or you don't have an authority and you're not a believer. Authority. And all you have to do is go through the scriptures. Here, let's look up a couple things. Let me show you some. So how much more sense it makes when you start reading this thing. The same one I gave you before. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Mark 11, 9, page 4 of the top. Blessed is he that comes in the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That would be a better translation. Now, the word Lord is actually the word master. Okay, but let's look at some of these other ones. The next one is Luke 13:35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say to you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus never even uses the name. So he's not talking about that. Or he would have always said things like, blessed is he that comes in the name of Jehovah God. Or our master, Jehovah God. Or something. But he never uses the name. Why? Because that's not the point. The point is the name. The point is the authority. Blessed is he that comes in the authority of the Lord. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. How about this? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my authority. Did the Holy Spirit ever say Jesus to you? The Holy Spirit, it doesn't come that way. It comes because an authority has been given for that to take place. In his authority. What authority is that? The authority of the Messiah, the authority of the one who bridged the gap, who paid the price to put us in a position, we talk about being saved, where we can start receiving of the Father. And the Father says, then, and he'll bring you the Holy Spirit in my authority. You're in my authority. You can receive now the gift of the Holy Spirit from the Father. Okay, look up some more over here. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keep through thy own name. That doesn't make any sense. Keep through thy own authority, yes. Father, keep them in your authority. Till when? Till he claims them. So it doesn't make sense under the word name, but under the word authority, it makes perfect sense. Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? Anybody here have his name? Hello. Ask any. I've never heard anybody give me the name of the Holy Ghost. Come on now, it says here you got to use his name. You understand how ridiculous it starts sounding? It's you baptize them in the authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit have authority? Yes. Does the Father have authority? Yes. Does the Son have authority? Yes. I baptize you in all those authorities. Okay. This is a good one. Matthew 10:41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now how does that work? Oh, John? Okay. Or the prophet? That's not the, here's how it works. Listen to this. He that receives a prophet as one having the authority of a prophet. If you receive a prophet as someone who has authority, look, here's how it works. This guy walks in, you don't know who he is. Hey, come on in, sit down and have dinner. You're being nice to him. You get a man's reward. Why? Because you don't know he's a prophet. And you haven't received him as a prophet in the authority of a prophet. But if he comes in and you say, you're a prophet of God, sit down, eat with us, then there's a reward for having acknowledged his authority. There is a lady who acknowledged the authority of the prophet in the Old Testament, and he said, make me two cakes. All she had enough grain left was for two cakes. She said, well, my son and I are going to die, because that's the last food we have. He says, make me two cakes. She received him in the authority of a prophet. Or she would have never given him her last two biscuits. You with me? Mm-hmm. And what happened? She got her conscience, they wouldn't empty. The oil would never, she could keep scooping oil out of it, it just kept filling itself back up again. And she traded that for all the stuff she needed. From then on, she was set. Why? Because it's a reward, because she received him as a prophet. You see where it applies in the scriptures? So there's, and what is it? It has nothing to do with the name. It has to do with the authority. Now, and whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What does that mean? In the authority of a disciple, I give this to you as a believer. What does the scripture say about giving? It says that whatever you give for the gospel's sake, you shall receive a hundredfold in the name of a disciple. If I give you this cup of water, then it's a cup of water. But I say when I give you this cup of water, receive this as unto the Lord. Then I receive the reward of a disciple. Because we're supposed to do everything as unto the Lord. We give as believers differently than unbelievers give. Although it appears on the outside, it's the same. And because we give within a system that allows us to give and reap a reward for giving, then we receive the reward that is due a giver in that system. Do you really think for a minute that these actors that are out here giving to charities and really weird charity stuff, do you think that they're involved in this giving and receiving system that God has for us? I don't think so, because they're not giving it, and they're not giving it in the authority of the disciple. They're giving it in their own authority, and they receive a reward as a man, acknowledgement. That's all they get, a man's reward. Acts 2:38, page 5. Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Now we know this is Peter preaching and baptize everyone in the name. That's the believer's baptism when you are baptized into the name. In the name, in the authority of Christ, what does baptize mean? Okay, Paul, the pastor Paul, he used an analogy. Of course, most of the other stuff I didn't agree with, but he used an analogy that was very proper. And he just didn't see it for himself as being as correct as it was. The symbol or the picture of the word baptism is to sink the ship. And not understanding that the reason the ship sinks is because what's outside is what's inside. He never made the connection, but that's the connection. To sink the ship, that he's thinking about submersion. But that's not what it means. It means to let outside, inside. How do your ship sink? You let the water in. And the ship sinks. You let Christ in. And you've been baptized. Is he the outside before you become a believer? Then he becomes inside, right? That's what the scripture says. That's what baptism is. So this baptism into the authority of Christ is, the authority of Christ is out here. The authority of Christ comes in here. And now it's yours. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the authority, what is he doing? He says, I'm speaking in the authority of Yahshua of Nazareth. Joshua of Nazareth, the Christ. Now, here's what I want. We're going to get into it just for a second here, because we're going to see this over and over again. Understand that the words are not right in all the texts, in all the scriptures. He's never Jesus Christ. It's always Yahshua, the Christ. It's Yahshua, the Messiah. It's not Jesus, Messiah. They've shortened it in this translation where it sounds like Christ is his last name. And it's not his last name. It's his authority. In the authority of Joshua, the Messiah. That's the authority, man. That's what it's supposed to say everywhere you see it, and it doesn't say that. Now, to differentiate him from other Joshuas, he's addressed by Joshua of Nazareth, or Joshua, the son of Joseph, his father, the carpenter. Joshua, son of Joseph. Because that's how they name people. Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo of Caprio. You understand? It's all through our language. We just don't see it most of the time. All these names that you see these prefixes on, those mean, that means of, or the family of. So you know, the anything, Di Giacomo, that's my wife's maiden name. Teresa of Giacomo, the family of Giacomo. Here's another one I sent to you. In Acts 4:18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And then other was the same. And they called them and commanded them, and to him they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. It doesn't say speak the name of Jesus, it's speak in the authority of Jesus. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Cretans. Baptized in the name of the Lord, in the authority of the Master, is what it really means. Baptized in the authority of the Master. Because that's what the word Lord means. Anyhow, Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus, but he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we looked at this before. Well, Joshua has a meaning, not the word Jesus, but the name Joshua, and it says, and they called his name Joshua. They named him Joshua, which means, for he shall save his people from their sins. What does Joshua mean? Here's what the word Joshua means. Joshua, it means Jehovah is salvation, or the salvation of Jehovah. That's what his name means, because that's what he's going to be. And all through the scripture, they name people according to what they were going to do, or what they were going to be like. Abram got changed to Abraham, because Abram didn't mean father of a multitude, but Abraham did. Sarai is changed to Sarah. God changes their names. In the scriptures, he changes their names. This is not something done by the translators, because he wants their name to reflect. Every time the name Joshua is spoken, when it releases into the spiritual realm, is the authority Yeshua is salvation. The salvation of Jehovah. Yeshua. The salvation of Jehovah. And it's real important. Unfortunately, the word Jesus doesn't mean that. It's just a different way of, it's a kind of a partial translation of a Greek way of saying something. I mean, if you look the word up, if you look the name up, the progression is not really a solid translation from Joshua to Jesus.
So they put that in there when he first translated the Bible in English?
Well, when they translated it into Greek, they used the Greek word. And the Greek word, Jesus, it starts with an X, depending on if you're in the Greek, it's an X, it's a word, it's a letter for sound I. So it's Jesus, because it's close.
It
doesn't
sound
Hispanic. It is. Jesus. It Jesus is Spanish.
Yeah.
Anyhow, here in Acts 26:9, I very thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How can you do something contrary to a name? On the bottom of page 7, Acts 26:9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How do you do something contrary to a name? You can't. You see how that? It has to mean something else, because how can you do something contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth? Unless name means something else. On many occasions I wrestle to do something outside of the authority of Christ, or actually opposing the authority of Christ. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I got a bunch of scriptures here that just go through them and transpose it. And you see that they make more sense. Here we go. Zechariah, this is in the Old Testament, Zechariah 10:12, the bottom of page 8. Zechariah 10:12, bottom of page 8. Listen to this. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name. Does that make sense? If the word name is somebody's name, I'm going to walk up and down on this, on your name, until I rub it off the ground. There's no way to do that. It's walking up and down in his authority. There's 50 or 60 of these, at least, that are very, very clear. I want to go to the last page right here. See, this was in Isaiah 7:14, is where I first saw this verse. Emmanuel spelled differently, that's why. But therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Old Testament. That's a prophecy of the New Testament. And they quote the same basic thing. They call his name Emmanuel. Now, again, if that word meant, even in the Old Testament, if that word meant a real name, then why did the name of Emmanuel? Because it is a name. But it has a meaning. And in the New Testament, they clarify it. Meaning God with us. They're going to call his authority Emmanuel. And in the New Testament, they clarify this scripture in Isaiah by adding to it, which means God with us, Emmanuel. So you understand they're not talking about a name. They're talking, really, when they wrote this, it was no confusion to them. They understood, but I'm telling you, perfectly well, when this was written. It was not a problem, Old Testament or New Testament. It's a problem to us now, because it's all hidden in this mistranslation of those words and what they really signify and mean. All right. The Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua is the name Jesus. It was originally Hoshea. It was changed by Moses to Jehoshua. Jehoshua is a long form of the word Joshua. It was shortened again in Scripture to Joshua. When you see Joshua and Caleb after the Exodus as being the only two that came back with a report that agreed with God about the promised land being flowing with milk and honey, and the other ten that went said that it was a terrible place, a land that eats, devours its inhabitants. And what Joshua and Caleb did is they brought back on a big stick that they carried over their shoulder grapevines that were, that had humongous grapes on them. These grapevines, it took two guys to carry one cluster of grapes on a stick. This is to prove that it was true what God said. And everybody else was said, came back, the scripture came back with an evil report. Now, can an evil report be the truth? No. A bad report can be the truth, but an evil report can only be a lie because of the source. Evil comes from the father of lies. It's a lie. Anything that is evil is a lie. Well, that guy is evil. Yes. But he really is evil. Yes. But an evil report is a lie. That person is deceived. They're evil because they're walking in deception. They're walking in a lie. But a report that's evil can only be a lie. So what they said wasn't true. That land did not devour them. So they went in there later on, they killed everybody. Mm-hmm. And they took it. Okay. But down here on the bottom I have... this is from the Old Testament, one of those reference books of names. And it lets you see English form of, how do you pronounce it? I-E-S-O-U-S, which was the Greek form of the Aramaic name Yeshua. So we have this, which they come in and translate in English, Jesus. And it's really not, the English word Jesus doesn't mean salvation of Jehovah. You understand that? It's not the same thing. It's, again, like I said before in the class, it's that if you're Spanish and your name is Guillermo, they usually call you Bill in English, or William. William and Bill are not forms of Guillermo. It's just, they had to have something. Because it doesn't mean it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Guillermo probably means something. But William or Bill, well, it's not even, they take this literary license with names when they translate them. And they translate them in that, well, let's just use this word. Oh, since Guillermo, since there really is no name that translates Guillermo, let's use William. Because there's no Spanish word for William, so we don't have to worry about conflict in a translation. And so you see this kind of stuff all through history. And it's a contraction of the word Yehoshua, the longer form of the word Joshua. I think that, any questions about that at all? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.